This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the answer's staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
It's not you, it's crazy, oh baby, just maybe.
For the rest of my life, I'll be single. Yeah!
For the rest of my life, I'll be single.
Hold on. Yeah!
For the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life. Anyway, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.D. Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must thank you first and foremost for sticking with me, even though I'm super late and missed a week. And for you just taking any of your time to sit down and listen to this thing that I do when I'm inspired to do it. Anyway, you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate it. So, thank you, man. I was in the lead up to this. You know, I was telling, you know, folks that I was taking the trip, so I went to the Black Pod Fest, which I'll talk about in a minute, and then I went home to the DMV to visit family, and I took stuff with me to try to record. And I actually did sit down in a hotel and like record an episode, and I'm just not accustomed to the guerrilla podcast recording, so stuff didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. I didn't want to give you a bullshit episode, so I just took a week. And then I got back like late Sunday night, and I don't know, for whatever reason, just... And maybe it's, you know, being home and being with family and then coming back, you know, to the apartment by myself. It took something out of me, like, emotionally. And I don't know. I just needed a day. I'm feeling better, though. I'm feeling better today. Man, let's get into it. I wanted to mention this because I just noticed this the other day. And then, yeah, coming from this conference, like, it's just in-the-face metaphor. It's just been fucking with me for a minute. When I leased this apartment, you know, and I'm trying to fill it with stuff, I wanted to be one of them dudes that had plants. So I bought a couple of, live plants. And the one I have up here in the office / studio / Chefy Lisa's room, is, I guess they call it a money tree. And, I got a ficus downstairs, and the ficus is resilient, man. Like, you know, you may water it like once a week or something, and it just does what it does. Like, I think I've probably forgotten, and I've never seen it adversely affected at all. It's just whenever I get around to it, I go over there, I talk to it. Her name is Astrud, my ficus, and I talk to her, give her some water, and she perks right back up. Like, she's, you know, no hiccups. The relationship at all. But this money tree, it really has become something that like I have to tend to. And if I don't come up here to my office where I say I'm putting in this work to try to build this thing, if I don't come up here and if I don't water that money tree on like a daily basis almost, I see the adverse effects. You know, leaves start to turn brown, things start to fall off. And so I gotta tend to the money tree. And if I don't do it every day, I start to lose things. And it's like, man, that's just like hitting me as the metaphor. I need to be up here in this room working. Or, you know, shit will start to fall away. Even the little bit that I've built will start to fall away. So it's just been in my face. I don't know why. I wanted to share that with y'all. And don't know if it means anything, but it's fucking hitting me hard. Let's see what I'm sipping right now. I do have to mention this. I'm normally doing the teas, and I tried to do the little streak where I wasn't going to repeat a tea, and then I just stopped caring about brewing tea before I came up here. But today I am drinking a beverage, not a tea, but from one of the companies that, you know, I've mentioned before, Hoplark, that makes the hop tea, which is like a sparkling tea brewed with hops that has like a craft beer flavor. So they're doing more of just like a straight up, you know, hop beverage to, you know, I don't know. I'll imitate like a beer. I don't know that it tastes like beer to me. I enjoy it. Right now, what I'm doing is the Hoplark 0.0 Citra. They have a really, really hoppy one, which is more like an IPA. That's what it's called, the really, really hoppy one. But that's more like IPA, and I've tried that, and I like that. But I do like this one as well. This is the like I said, the Hoplark 0.0 Citra. Let's see, double dry hopped Citra hops. It's just pretty much carbonated water and hops, and it's dope. I enjoy it. It was delivered while I was, you know, out on my vacation, whatever I want to call it. So I didn't get to try it till I got back home, but I really am enjoying it. It says Hoplark 0.0, the better way to NA. I like that. That's pretty dope. I'll go with that slogan. Hold on. I realized a few episodes ago, like, how loud, like, me drinking and swallowing stuff pause on this show is, and I apologize, but I'm not editing it out at all. But yeah, anyway, if you want to try these Hoplark beverages, you can get 15% off your order from the Hoplark site if you use the URL whatistws.com/hops, H-O-P-S, whatistws.com/hops. That'll take you to their website, and it'll automatically give you the coupon code for 15% off your order if you ever wanted to try any of these things. If you're looking for truly non-alcoholic alternatives, I looked at it this past like weekend because I know what Heineken has, something that they're calling like a true, you know, 0.0 ABV non-alcoholic beer, and even that is legally allowed to have like 0.03% alcohol by volume. And for me, I just I don't know. I don't play around with it at all. Like I not that I truly believe in my mind that that's going to take me down a spiral, but it ain't worth the risk. So if you're looking for stuff that's truly non-alcoholic, there's no fermentation in these beverages, so there is no alcohol whatsoever, and I really do enjoy them. So whatistws.com/hops get you 15% off if you want to try the hop tea. They have a hop water, and then now they have these the 0.0. I think everything is 0.0, but I guess this one isn't a water or a tea, so that's what differentiates it from the others. But yeah, hit it up. Show them that my audience could do some numbers so I can get some sponsorship deals. I'm being transparent. Anyway, this episode is going to be the what I learned on my summer vacation episode. Yes, I'm aware that it is not summer yet. If you're looking at the equinox or whatever, I guess meteorologically it is summer, but whatever. I had this conversation with my mother, and she could pronounce those words way better, but it is and isn't summer. And then also, this really wasn't a vacation for me at all. Like, I went to a conference for what is something I would like to become my career at some point. So, I guess that was work. And then, I didn't do any like vacation-y things when I went home. I just chilled and spent time with family. I ain't do no sightseeing or nothing like that. But it was a dope trip, and I learned a lot. So yeah, it took me back to like those school days when you would have to report back on what you did over summer vacation. And I learned a lot in this trip, you know, both professionally and personally. And I figured I would sit down and unpack when I got here and talk to you guys about that. First and foremost, though, we got to do the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
Yeah, I've been out of town for a while, so I didn't see her. It's been like 2 weeks since I've had like, you know, real time with my sweet pea. I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys after her kindergarten award ceremony. I guess they don't do like a graduation, so I don't know if I can say she graduated from kindergarten, but she finished kindergarten. And I was able to get there for that. I brought her some flowers. I felt like a dope dad. And it was just, I don't know. It was a cool thing to see. It almost got a tear out of me. I just feel like I'm missing so much. And like, you know, I'm not there for the day-to-day stuff, but I'm there as often as I can be. Maybe that's not exactly true, but I'm there a lot. I'm there. She knows that I'm there. Hopefully I get to increase that now that I'm getting mobile with the car. But yeah, my sweet pea is out of kindergarten. She'll be starting the first grade. Proud dad. What else? And then I guess while I was back in Maryland, I did have a chance to have like a video call with her. Cause I really wanted her to see, I don't think, you know, it connected with her. Like when we're having video calls from, you know, from my house back home to my mom, like I'm trying to explain to her that that's my mom. Like she has a mom and that's my mom. And I'm not sure it clicked. So I wanted her to see, you know, me and my mother together, you know, calling her so she could see, you know, you're with your mom right now. I'm with my mom. And I think she was watching Chopped or something on TV when we called. So I'm not sure we had her full attention, but hopefully that the message got across and that went well. I am going to see her this week, and I'll probably do like 2 weekends in a row to try to catch back up, because it's just, I miss my sweet pea, and I know she misses me too. We're going to have our tea party this weekend. Hopefully it's going to some activities planned, some things she's got to do. So I'm hoping that we can make time to really like have a dope tea party. I'm trying to think of, you know, what could accompany the tea. You know, I know sandwiches and stuff or whatever. Was it cucumber sandwiches with the crust cut off or whatever? That's like your normal tea party fare. That's not my thing. I don't see how a cucumber sandwich is enjoyable at all. But I don't know. If she wants to do it, I'll probably do it. I'm thinking more like, you know, because fruit is our thing. We get some fruit. Maybe I buy a melon baller and we just, you know, do some melon balls and stuff like that. I think she would enjoy doing that, but we'll see. But I do have to take her to a birthday party this weekend. And I was looking at where these parents picked for the venue for the birthday party. And they said like this, like a Nerf gun, like amusement park. So it's going to be like Nerf shootouts. And that's like, that's super dope to me. Like that's another like proud dad moment. Like you want your kids to, you know, have a better life than you did. And like this would have been something I would have loved at her age. And I'm like low-key jealous. Like I might have more fun than her if they let me get out there. But yeah, I'm happy that she gets to do stuff like this, and then I'll be there to see it. So this is it's gonna be a good weekend one way or another. I don't know. This did come to mind when I saw that, you know, what kind of party this is gonna be. Is it, I know we're probably not talking to our kids about what happened in Uvalde, Texas, but like I'm sure they had this plan way before that. But I'm just like, man, is it too soon to like do a Nerf gun shootout party with, you know, like kindergarten age children after that? I don't know. It's not funny. I'm not trying to make a joke out of it. This is legitimately something that like came across. I just you know, jumped into my mind. But it's gonna be cool. Like, just let her be a kid, be normal, even though the world is, you know, super abnormal right now. But fuck it, though. We're gonna make it do what it do. But that's the Chef Elise report for this week.
I'm a peppy.
Can't wait to see her. So then jumping into my trip. So I think I was telling everybody, I went to the Black Podcast Festival in Atlanta over Memorial Day weekend. It's my first time, you know, getting out the house really since all this shit popped off. You know, it's my first time in a long time where like I had the responsibility of taking care of myself, as fucked up as that sounds for a 40-year-old. But, you know, I bought my own plane tickets, bought my hotel stuff, had to pack my own bag. Like, I know this is sounding like basic 101 adulting type stuff, but if you really haven't been in a situation where you've had to do it, you know, you feel unsure about doing it. And so I was like super proud of myself for like getting all that done. I had all the toiletries and stuff that I needed. I didn't get there and was missing something. I did like lose a laptop on the trip. And for some reason, I'm not that upset about that. Like, it's a whole ass laptop and it's gone. But and I guess I did like do the whole lost and found thing with the airline. And I guess apparently they can't find it. Fuck it, though. But other than that, that part of the trip went off without a hitch. And I'm super proud of myself for that. But the festival itself was really dope, really dope. I learned a lot. I learned one thing that really stuck out to me that I learned is that a lot of the social shit that I have a problem with, or like the emotional response to like what happens to me in social environments, it's solely my fault. Like, I get to the conference for the first day. I get there early. And when I get there, it's only maybe about, 10 people sprinkled, you know, around this auditorium where they were going to have the opening session or whatever. And it ain't probably spread across two tables. It's like two tables of maybe four or five people that have already gathered. And you can tell that these are not four or five people that knew each other. These are just people that came in. They kind of, you know, congregated in groups, and they're sitting at the tables and they're having those introductory conversations like, hey, what's up? This is what I do. What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. Where you from? That kind of stuff. And my social anxiety kicked in, and I like, you know, ventured off. Instead of hitting one of the two tables and joining the conversation, I ventured off and sat by myself, which is what I do. And then I'm sitting there as more people come into the room and they join those two tables. I'm feeling that sort of kind of way that nobody's coming over here and sit with me. As if you come into a room and there's a group of people having a conversation, and then there's a dude sitting over there playing with a Rubik's Cube or something, like, which fucking table would you choose? Like, you know, I created this situation where I'm purposefully excluding myself. And then, you know, now I probably look unapproachable and I look like I want to just, I don't know, I look like the kind of person I wouldn't want to sit next to. And then eventually the people who did sit next to me are the people that I run into routinely in life, which are the folks that, I don't know, I usually befriend people who don't have a lot of friends. And at some point during the friendship, I realize why they don't have a lot of friends. And that's exactly what happened to me on that day. Like, I ran into the people I got connected with was, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to say nothing negative about anybody, but you get where I'm going with this. But I did it to myself. I did it to myself. And I learned that. I also, you know, I got a lot in terms of just like the monetization and then, you know, crafting content and taking chances and stuff like that. It was a great festival, great conference in terms of, I think now I walked away with it, and I was telling people there that like I walked away with the idea that this will now prove if I really want to do this or not, because it's no longer, I can't sit here and be like, I'm taking shots in the dark. And if things are not working, it's just like luck of the draw. Like, I just can't figure it out. It's like, now somebody has given me the playbook, you know, this is how to take it from here to here. And if I really want to get there, then I just got to actually do the work. And so now I don't know, whether or not, you know, I'm serious about how much I want this to work out, because I got the playbook. So yeah, I think if you're in any sort of profession or you know, there's a hobby or something that you want to take to the next level, if you can find a group of like-minded people and get around them and, you know, and learn as much as you can, you know, it'll give you that. Because, you know, just sitting here trying to do it myself, that could be my excuse for the rest of my life. Is that, yeah, I tried, I just didn't know what to do. Now I know what to do, and let's see if we can pull it off. I think we can. Can we? I think we can. All right. Hey, what else? Oh, I got to shout out Drea's point of view, or Drea from Drea's point of view. I got a chance to meet her in person at the festival, which was dope. It's dope when you meet somebody who's like, who you only know online and you know as a personality, and they are actually the person, you know, that they are on their show in real life. So we got to hang out, have some good conversations, hit some sessions together. She brought me some tea, so super shout out for that. Cause I got there. That's the, if there's one thing I felt, you know, I had a regret about in terms of my packing, is that I didn't pack any tea. And I got there, you know, I think it was Friday night before the conference. And I was hyper aware that I didn't have any tea. And then I met her on Saturday and she was like, oh, I got something for you. And it was tea, and it was dope tea. I wanted to share it and have that be the thing I was drinking today. But I ended up sitting around my mom's kitchen table for the majority of my trip home. And I just sat there and drank tea. It was like a macadamia nut coconut was one. They were both from Hawaii. One was a macadamia nut coconut and the other was a hibiscus honey. And they were both super dope, delicious. I enjoyed them. So, yo, thank you very much for the tea. Real quick side note, I was supposed to do this earlier, but I didn't. I wanted to talk about some shows that I'm going to be guesting on. One that's out now, the Unpacked Energy Podcast, hosted by Tiana. She is spotlighting like fatherhood for the month of June, which is super dope. And so she's having fathers from all, I don't know, they're all different colors of the spectrum or whatever of fatherhood. She had me on to talk about co-parenting, like positive co-parenting environments. And I think that my ex-wife and her new husband and I have worked out a very positive co-parenting situation. So, yeah, I appreciate her for giving me a chance to come in and talk about that. It was a great conversation. We realized, you know, we were both from the DMV. And so it's always super dope to connect with somebody from the area. But that was a great show. I hope some good stuff came out of it. So definitely, if you get a chance, check out Unpacked Energy with Tiana. I'm on there this week, so you can get a double dose of Flan. Because I know you missed me. Whatever. And then also, my homies at the Uncomfortable Truth podcast, I stopped by there during my trip back to the DMV and did an episode with them. It's the interview you didn't know you needed. But it was a dope interview. Real nigga conversation, which is what I was looking forward to. That one's not out this week. I think it's going to be next week or either the week after, but it's coming soon. But just check them out anyway, because everything they do is dope. And they had some great guests on there. That's the Uncomfortable Truth with Velvet Jones and Quadi. We went to junior high school together. So it's cool to see, you know, that we got some similar interests and we both venturing into this podcast world together. So, man, yeah, support my homies. Back to the show, though. Back to the conference. So, I paid for VIP tickets to this conference. And I'm not trying to diss the conference because it was a good conference. I enjoyed it. The VIP thing gave me one, what they call, off-site experience. And I just got to talk about it real quick because it's one of those things, like Dave Chappelle has mentioned it before, and I wasn't ready. It's one thing. This is what happened, right? So they tell us that we're having this offsite event. They tell us where it's going to be. And they pretty much recommend that you Uber or Lyft over there. So the main day of the conference is over. I get back to my hotel room. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to go because, you know, I'm being antisocial, social anxiety. They're doing headshots there, which Drea told me was, you know, a pretty cool thing. Like, you know, you should go take advantage of that. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go. So I punched the address and Uber. I take my stuff with me, my little gorilla podcasting equipment with me. Because you never know when I'm going to do an interview. I know I wasn't going to do an interview, but I had to take it with me so that I had the opportunity to do it, even though I knew like my shyness and stuff wasn't going to allow it. But anyway, I had some equipment on me, some stuff I didn't want to lose. I hope I'm not giving away the punchline here. But so it drives me to this place, and it says it's downtown. And so I'm like, all right, downtown is downtown. And so the dude drove me to this place, and I get out, and I'm looking for a venue. I'm guessing this thing is going to be at a venue. They gave us an address, but like no real name to the place. And there's no like signs. It's just buildings with no signs. Don't really look like anybody's around here. And I'm walking. I got my phone in my hand. I'm looking at Google Maps, trying to make sure I'm in the right place. And start to notice, you know, the people that are walking around me and the conversations that are being had. And it became quite apparent I just got dropped off in the hood. shit. And it's, you know, it's one thing when you know you're going. It's one thing when you know you're going. It's a whole nother thing when it's an unexpected situation where somebody just like drops you. Like that scene, like that would be like the fucked up beginning to a movie or something, right? Like you just get, you don't know where the fuck you at. You just get dropped off in like a hostile environment, you know? And then me coming from where I'm from, like I know the last thing you want to be doing in a hood is looking like you don't belong there. Looking like you don't know where you're going. You're not from around here. I got, you know, a couple $100 worth of equipment strapped to my back. It was not a comfortable situation. That's all I'm saying. It was not a comfortable situation. Like I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't expecting it. Here the fuck I am. And now I'm trying to adjust real quick. You know, like I said, I look like a fucking tour. I look like food, man. I was uncomfortable as shit. I found a place though. When I went in, I got my headshots done early. I think I got there like, I don't know, 8 o'clock. And I wasn't supposed to get, my appointment was for like 9 something to get my headshots. So I thought I was gonna have to just hang around and socialize for like an hour or so. But they got me in there early. I had a few conversations. It wasn't a whole lot going on. It was mostly a mixer for people to, you know, get to know one another. And that ain't my thing. And it was like an open bar, and that ain't my thing. So I eventually left. And it was for the greater good, because everybody that I had talked to at the conference so far, you know, that I was like introducing my podcast to, they were, you know, highlighting the transparency and stuff. And that's a word I've heard a lot of, like transparency, like you're so transparent, blah, blah, blah. And the Uber driver that I got from, you know, this event back to my hotel was the definition of transparency. This dude was like, he was a white, redheaded, gay dude from the hood. And it was just a uniquely dope, I guess, Atlanta. That was the Atlanta experience. And we had a great conversation. And I guess he had given a couple of other people some rides. He knew what we were there for, that, you know, this was all the podcast thing. He had his own issues with addiction. And so we had that conversation that kind of, you know, shared our, what is that? I'm losing it because I ain't been to meetings in a minute. We shared our experience, strength, and hope. That's what it is, with each other. You know, we had that little kumbaya moment. And then he was telling me about a girlfriend of his that wants to start her own podcast. And hers was going to be specifically to kind of like humanize and, I guess, normalize the world of sex workers. Because apparently, and these are his words, not mine, she's been out here selling cooch for a minute, and she sells cooch not because she has to, but because she wants to. She loves it. She loves to sell cooch. Selling cooch is what she's doing. I'm trying to like bring y'all into my experience, because I had never heard anybody use the term selling cooch before. And I don't think I will in the rest of my years on this planet hear someone use it as much as this dude did over the course of like this 15 minute Uber ride. He said it so much, selling cooch. He said it so much that like, it was uncomfortable at first. And then like, I got used to it, and it was almost funny. And then I just got uncomfortable again because he wouldn't stop saying it. Like, he was just like, selling cooch, because people be out here selling cooch. She sells cooch, but that's, you know, ain't nothing wrong with selling cooch. My dude, please. I don't want to, I'm back here uncomfortable, and I don't want you to think I'm uncomfortable because, you know, you white and you talking the way you talking, or because you gay. I'm uncomfortable because you won't stop saying selling cooch, though. That's the most uncomfortable part about this ride. Please relax. So yeah, if you're listening, which I know you aren't, you're a good dude. I appreciate you. I appreciate the conversation. Just, you know, once you establish what she's selling, you don't have to repeat it. I got it. I was with you the whole time. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, but super transparent. Love that dude. But that was ATL. I left ATL and then I went straight home to the DMV. And like I said, I didn't really go nowhere. I chilled with family. I had like some great conversations with my sister. I talked to her like almost every night, and we would talk for what seemed like hours. And I mean, that was dope, because we haven't necessarily had that relationship. Like, we don't talk that often. I sent her the occasional text, something like that. Happy birthday, happy Mother's Day, Just, you know, if I see something that relates to something I know she likes. But we don't really talk that often. So, you know, for us to have these conversations, and we didn't really necessarily get along as kids. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show before, but it used to be a punishment when we were real little. It used to be a punishment to make us hug each other. It'd be like, go hug your brother and, you know, something. And we do the, like, real quick one finger tap on the back type hug. Like, ah, I did it. Like, you know, it's over with, you know. So for us to sit down and talk, it was dope. It really meant a lot to me. And I got to see, like, her relationship with these woodland creatures. And my sister just into, like, so much stuff. She's into astrophotography, which I didn't know was a thing. She came out. I thought she had a rifle. Like, I didn't know. I guess I'm, like, super sensitive right now to all this gun stuff. And she came from the back with this camera, and the lens was so long. Like, it looked like she had an AR. I'm like, who, what you getting ready to do? But, like, she shoots, you know, these, like, nature pictures of the squirrels and stuff and bugs, bees and things like that. She bought Chef Elise. Hold on.
Out of Pepe.
There we go. Got to do it. She bought Chef Elise this little kit where, like, you can get bugs and you put them in these things with magnifying glasses on them, and they got rulers on the side. I don't know. I'm describing it horribly, but it's basically so you can examine the bugs and see them up close. And yeah, she'll have to do that with her mother or something, because I don't do that. But yeah, me and my big sis had some great conversations. I found out, you know, there's a member of my family, and I won't say who, that's in the shrooms. I think they do, like, the shroom chocolate bar or micro doses. They were trying to explain it to me. It was a lot. It did, like, trigger in me this thing where I'm happy that I'm sober. I'm happy that I'm sober. I don't ever want to go back to where I was. But I do have occasionally, like, regrets over drug experiences that I didn't have. and mushrooms is up there. Like, acid is in there too. There's a few other things I feel like, you know, I should at least try once. I ain't gonna do it. Cause I know if I like it, you know, if I like a little, I want to know what a lot feel like. So I don't open them doors, but every once in a while, somebody's talking about something, like, God damn, wish I could have just tried that one time before nigga decided to get sober. God damn. Hold on. I had to get some of that Hoplock 0.0 for that. The time with my sister was really dope. My mom and I, we always talk. So, yeah, it wasn't so much, you know, having conversations with her, just seeing her, you know, getting a hug or be around her. She had this thing. She has a QVC addiction. I guess we all do. We all have addictions, not QVC specifically. My mom has, like, a QVC shopping addiction. And so she bought this, she keep calling it a teeter totter. And maybe that's the brand name, but she's 70 something and I'm 40. We don't need to be just talking about teeter totters. It's an inversion table. And so I guess, you know, supposed to help with your back, stuff like that. And she bought it. My nephew put it together. And then they decided that she would kill herself if she got on it. So she'd been trying to give it to me for a while. And I was excited about it. Like, I was really into, like, I was going to be in here doing my Batman shit and, like, hanging upside down, trying to grow a couple inches. But so the plan was for me to get up there and then, like, get it to UPS or something so they could ship it down here to me. And I got to UPS and they was trying to charge me $600. To pack this thing and ship it to Texas. And I could buy another one for less than $600. Like, you know, so I ended up giving it to a friend. But that was the big, like, that was my mom and I's thing for the week that I was there. Like, trying to get this teeter-totter inversion table out of her house. Cause she just has stuff. Like, she buys the stuff from QVC. It still be in the box. And I normally go up there and just start looking, you know, looking at boxes like, oh, what's this? What's that? You want that? You don't want that? I ain't have enough room in my bags to do that this trip. But the teeter totter, I don't even want to call it. Why do I keep saying it? The inversion table was the thing that I did want, but ended up not being able to take that. I wasn't going to spend $600 to ship it down here to myself. So I gave it to my homie, my big brother, which was the other, you know, dope part of my trip. Got to, you know, reconnect with him. I hate explaining that I'm not talking about my brother, because he is my brother, but he's not my brother. And y'all understand exactly what I'm saying. But yeah, I got to hang with him. He's also, you know, my producer for the years that I was doing rap. We did some music together while I was there. I made some, you know, some business connections. We talked about some things you want to do in the future. You know, I'm probably going to have him on the show a little bit more in the coming months, and we'll see, you know, where that can go. But I got to see everybody, and everybody was in good spirits. Everybody's been doing well, hanging out with the dudes from Uncomfortable Truth, just seeing how, you know, people I went to junior high with, you know, have grown and become men, and just us all being, you know, 40 plus year old men that made it when, you know, growing up, you know, we was fed statistics like, you know, by the age of, well, one out of three of y'all ain't gonna make it to 21, or, you know, gonna be dead or in jail, that kind of shit. We heard that shit on the regular. And so to be like in our 40s and alive and not in jail and doing well, is a blessing. It was dope to see. So shouts to all of them again. Again, like, great trip. One of the things that did happen on the trip, and I don't want to like take the episode to a downer level, but I did want to discuss this real, and I'm trying to make this quick because I don't want to get too deep and too dark, and we over our usual time. But I got to sit with my aunt, who's 92, and my uncle, who's 87, and my mother is 73, I want to say. And I just listened to them talk, and we got into a conversation, I guess, about the state of the country and where we are, you know, as a country. And first, I want to say that these are three, you know, black people, elderly black people who are deeply patriotic. Like, these are people who love their country. I mean, you know, my uncle was a firefighter. My mom was a teacher. My aunt was a teacher. My mom is super. She was super patriotic. I mean, we talking about like 4th of July, we had to read the Declaration of Independence. She's one of the only people I've ever met that I'm sure she doesn't know now, but at some point knew all the verses to the Star Spangled Banner. Like she was that kind of person when it came to her love of her country. And just to see like how, like, I guess, disappointed they are with the way things are right now. I would have recorded it, and it's dope to, you know, have conversations with, you know, the older people in your family and get these stories. I really wish I could have shared them with you firsthand. But they're getting up. We're talking, you know, people who are recovering from strokes and, you know, heart conditions. So it wouldn't have been something. It would have been hard to make it comprehensible. But I mean, it was just a lot, man. I learned the origin, I guess, of my whiteness. I know, you know, a lot of people identify me as the whitest black person they know. And I'm trying to do the family tree thing. Like, well, my grandmother's grandmother was white. And I think, and then her parents were like Irish, like, I guess Irish immigrants kind of, or, you know, they Irish. And then like, she was just white, whatever that is. And then there's the rest of us. So it's in there. And then, you know, my last name is Irish, and that comes from my father. So I guess I get it from both sides. But then I also learned that, you know, that white ancestor, you know, my grandmother's grandmother, they killed her brother. And by they, I mean like the Klan or whoever organized, you know, racist at the time, killed her brother for defending, you know, her and her family. You know, they killed him for being a nigger lover. Like, they cornered him on a bridge, and they drew straws to see who was going to shoot him. And they shot and killed him, a white man, because he defended and supported, you know, his sister and his black family. And that's just, you know, and then, you know, and then my aunt, who's 92, she knows these things. You know, she knows, you know, those people. Like, that was her great grandmother. Like, she's aware of them. You know, my uncle talked about being in the fire department in D.C. Right as they integrated the fire department and the lawsuit that his training class had to, you know, give to the city, because they pretty much they lied about the black trainees test scores. So they hid the test scores so that they didn't have to accept. But two of them, I think he said there's about six of them in his training class and only two of them made it, you know, to become firefighters. And at the end of the day, it comes to light that they all had passed and they only took two. But he didn't see his scores on those tests to validate, you know, who passed and who didn't until he had retired from the fire department. You know, I found out, I didn't know this, that 1960 was the first year that residents of the District of Columbia had a vote in a presidential election. And we know that that's a majority African-American, you know, city. And I don't know. It's just, you know, my uncle's situation, you know, that voting thing, the stuff that, you know, I've talked about with my mom and the trips to South Carolina. And one, these things are ancient history. And then two, like, I think a lot of times when we talk about that stuff and there's been the whole, you know, there's the whole controversy behind critical race theory. Like, I think sometimes what happened in this country in the past in terms of race relations is almost mythologized. Like, it doesn't feel real. Like, you feel like it may be over exaggerated, or you feel like, you know, you don't know nobody that happened to, or these are just, you know, random stories. But to sit down with people who experienced it and went through it, you know, my mom talked about going to movie theaters in the South and having to sit in the black section and having to order concessions, you know, from the back, and couldn't even go to where you could see what they had to offer. You had to know what you wanted to order because you pretty much had to yell it down to somebody to get your stuff, because you couldn't just go to concessions. Like, this is in her lifetime. And that's my mom. It's a person that I can touch and I can see, you know. So I think a lot of times when stuff happens in this country today, we view it as if it's an isolated incident. But when you view it from the lens of, you know, like my aunt and my uncle and my mother, it is one incident stacked on top of a lifetime of incidents. And that's where the outrage comes from. That's where, you know, I had a conversation with people when some of these things, you know, were happening. It was like, you're this upset about this, or you're this upset about that. No, it's this upset about this after all of that happened, and after things were promised, and after changes were supposed to have been made and they weren't. And then now we're here again. So it was difficult to listen to. It was important to hear. And it was important to see just how hurt, you know, they were at us being here again. You know, I think that was the feeling for them. Like, we're here. We thought we were past this. We thought we had gotten past this. We thought this was over. We thought change had come. And then now we're here again. And again, these are people that were deeply patriotic. I never grew up in an environment where people was shitting on America or didn't believe like this was the greatest country in the world. You know, that was echoed, you know, from everybody around me. And now these folks are just, they hurt. So I don't know. I just wanted to share that, because again, I think like sometimes these things that happen, you know, feel like folk tales, like not real, but they real, like they really happen, and they really happen to people, you know, these people aren't dead. This is an ancient history. The people who did these things are still here, and the people who went through these things are still here. So we need to talk about it, and we need to be aware of it so we don't repeat it. And as I said, we can heal a little bit. We can actually make the changes. Like, obviously, the things that we thought we did to be better have not all worked out the way we planned. So let's look at it again. Again, didn't want to take, you know, the episode any place too dark, but I felt like there was a conversation that I was lucky enough to be able to sit in on, and I wanted to share that with you guys. But with all that being said, I'm glad I sat down and did this podcast today. Sorry for being late. Sorry for missing a week. I missed you guys. I need this. This is important to me. It's definitely like my therapy sessions. Whew. All right. Hold on. Let me get another set. Should I laugh after that? I don't know. It's all good. But let me do my usual calls to action and get out of here. I'm going to leave y'all on that note. Hopefully this is like a thought-provoking episode. Maybe it'll lead to some conversations that we need to have. But if you're looking to get your fitness goals, these are horrible segues. If you're looking to get your fitness and nutrition goals on course, holler at my man Zaya Fitness. His website is livealphafitness.com. That's livealphafitness.com. He can get you where you need to be. Great dude. I support him 100%. Also, you know, I got my merch. What is TWS.com? Coupon code algorithm. ALGO. Anyway, coupon code algorithm. Look it up. Google it. I'm not in the mood. It'll get you 20% off your entire order. So check out the merch. Hit up some of the streets. The shirts. Man, I'm fucked up. For the algorithm. We got the Just Ass shirts. We got the Stay Grateful. We got the Stay Connected. A lot of dope stuff on there. I think I wore one of my shirts more days than I didn't while I was on the trip, which is always a dope experience for me. But some of the algorithm, coupon code algorithm, will get you 20% off. And if you want that 50% off, 15, not 50, ooh, 15% off any of the Hoplock beverages, hit up whatistws.com/hops, and that'll get you 15% off. All of their delicious hoppy beverages, craft beverages. Hold on. Yeah. But with that being said, I appreciate you taking the time to hang out with me. Hopefully there was something in this episode for you. If you like what you heard, please leave a like or review. Subscribe so you don't miss out on anything. I'm going to be, you know, back to my normal schedule. And I got some dope stuff coming up. But check out Unpacked Energy Podcast. I'm on there this week. Check out the Uncomfortable Truth Podcast. I'm going to be on there in a couple weeks, if not next week. But until we speak again, be safe, be easy, be the light. And know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. We're going to do the outro music this week. I'm feeling it.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. Gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.